Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1627. The topic is nutrition and the title is Debunking Common Nutrition Myths. So we had a podcast listener actually sent me in a list of 10 things and they asked if I would cover them. And I was like, cool, okay, let's go. So always fun. So if you have any questions, just shoot me an email. If you ever just want me to touch on a topic, even if you don't really have a question, just like, hey, what do you think of this? That works as well. So the 10 things they wrote, they said they took from a couple different websites, and when they had seen them, it kind of sparked some questions in their mind. So they thought they'd send them in. Okay, let's go through the list. So the first one is that calories in versus calories out is all that matters when it comes to weight loss. No. calories in versus calories out. So calories is the most impactful aspect of overall nutrition. Whether you're eating for fat loss, eating for muscle size gain, strength gain, performance, whatever you're eating for, whatever your purpose is, the amount of calories you consume is the most important thing. You got to set that up first, and then you got to kind of work through everything else. So it's not, quote unquote, all that matters. So I think what you're going to see, probably what happens in most of these statements, are a lot of like extremes. So saying calories in versus calories out is all that matters when it comes to weight loss? Obviously no. Is calories in versus calories out what matters most? Yes. Yes. So there's a lot of other things, but yes, calories in versus calories out matters the most. So one of the ways I think of it is it's like getting directions. If I want to go from Miami to New York City, nothing about how you're going to get there matters if you're not going in the right direction. So if you want to fly first class, all expenses paid, you don't have to drop a dime, but they take you from Miami to Los Angeles, that's not very helpful if you wanted to get to New York City. So the directions matter most. So once I'm in the right direction, once I'm going from Miami to New York, then everything else matters. You know, am I walking? Am I driving in a car? Am I flying in a plane? You know, those are very important things. You know, if I want to get from Miami to New York and I'm going to walk, that's going to take forever compared to taking a plane flight, right? But it mattered more that I was going in the right direction than how I was traveling at first. If I was going from Miami to Los Angeles, nothing matters because I'm going in the wrong direction. Once I'm going in the right direction, then everything matters, if that makes sense. So calories in versus calories out, it's not all that matters, but it is absolutely the most impactful component. So we have our podcast 1232, which is a nutrition podcast that'll start here. It tells you step by step by step how to set up your own nutrition program. It tells you what are the most important components, how to get them all in the right kind of ballpark, and then kind of build from it from there. And then also on our website, if you go to our website, www.brutalirongym.com, click on Free Nutrition Education. The very first link there is titled Create Your Own Nutrition Program. And it's a document that takes you through the podcast, gives you like formulas and how to figure out your calories, your protein, and all that stuff. So it just kind of like walks you through the step. There's that document for free on our website. Okay. So the second thing we have, it says, high-fat foods are unhealthy. No. If you overeat them, yeah. But so is anything else that you overeat. So if something is high-fat, the typical concern would be is that it's high calories. So there's 9 calories per gram of fat when you look at like dietary fats. But carbohydrates and protein are 4 calories per gram. What this means is per unit of macronutrients. So if you weighed out and kind of got like a gram of fat, a gram of carbs, and a gram of protein, there's over twice the calories in a gram of fat than there is in a gram of carbs and fat and protein. This means it's basically like your calories, if they're high fats, they have twice, I mean your food. If your foods are high fat, they have twice the calories per same size of food. So if I'm eating a baseball size of something that's high fats, that can have twice the calories as a baseball size of something that's carbs or a baseball size of something that's protein. So high fat foods can kind of get you because you wouldn't feel like you're going to overeat them because it doesn't feel like a high volume of food. However, there's a lot of calories in that amount of food. So that tends to be where people get in trouble with high-fat foods, is they're very easily overeaten because the volume doesn't have to be very high for you to have high calories. So dietary fat is important. Our body does use dietary fat to keep us alive, so it's helpful. You don't need a lot of it, but you do need some of it. If you were to try to do like a purely zero dietary fat diet, a horrible idea, by the way, please don't do it. It's very unhealthy. Your skin's going to feel kind of flaky and dry. Your hair will get very brittle. You're going to run into a lot of other like kind of blood problems and like a lot of stress in the organs. Our body uses dietary fat and needs dietary fat. So for example, like our cell walls are made in part with dietary fats. So you're going to have just less healthy cell walls. They're going to be more rigid and brittle. And they'll like break, and then that causes a lot of problems. So it's definitely not a good thing to have zero dietary fats. So you definitely want to have some dietary fats in your diet, but you do need to be aware of them because they're twice the calories per volume. The third thing we have is that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. It is really important. So I would probably agree with this. I know I'm supposed to be like debunking common myths, but that one's actually pretty damn true. Like, I believe it. And it's like, well, who cares what you believe? Well, it's also based off what I see with clients and results. So breakfast eating within kind of the first couple of hours of being awake, it's so impactful in the quality of your experience with food, not necessarily the results. So it's been shown, studies have proven it, that you can eat whenever the hell you want. You can eat one meal a day, two meals a day. You can eat only in the morning, only in the evening. You can eat whenever the hell you want. Schedule-wise, they found that weight change, which is often measured as weight loss, but it can be weight gain, you know, anything you want to do with your diet. But weight change diets, that meal timing doesn't have much of an impact on the ability to change your weight. So if I want to lose 10 pounds, if I control my calories, I get my macronutrients right, I do everything, and I just eat whenever I want, but everything else is controlled, then yes, I can change my weight. I can lose the 10 pounds. But when you eat matters enormously towards the overall experience of dieting. So if you eat kind of more spread out throughout the day, you get kind of a meal within the first couple hours of being awake, it reduces cortisol. When cortisol is high, it can negatively impact fat loss. It can also negatively impact muscle tissue, like the amount of muscle tissue you have. So if you tend to eat sooner within being awake, you have better body composition. So when they do the studies and they say like, okay, you can eat all in the evening, you can eat all during the day, you can eat once a day, you can eat 10 times a day, none of it matters for the weight change. True. But the quality of what you look like is vastly different. People have better body composition, they're leaner and they have more muscle at that weight when they eat earlier in the day and they eat more often. So if you're looking at purely just weight change, no, meal timing doesn't matter. But if you want quality of the change, then yes, it does. If you want to reduce cortisol, which also helps you sleep better, by the way, it reduces anxiety, that's, then scheduling is important, meal timing is important. Also, it improves your mood, your energy, and there's just so many other benefits to in respect to the experience of your diet. So I do believe that eating within the first couple hours of being awake is very impactful and very beneficial. So whether you call that breakfast or you just say, hey, I've been awake, I want to eat within the first 1-2, you know, maybe 3 hours of being awake, good idea. That's a good thing to do. Do it. The next thing we have here is you need to eat small, frequent meals for optimal health. Ugh, that's that word health. Depends on how you define that word. Typically, when you look at health, most people, if you're looking at like sciencey type stuff, they're thinking about longevity. You know, do you have any blood markers that are off that would be negatively associated with, you know, a shortened life? So are you going to die? That's essentially how they're measuring health when you look at most like scientific things. They're not measuring, you know, mental and emotional health. Do I feel comfortable in my skin? Do I like the way I look in a mirror and in clothes? They're looking at longevity. So whenever somebody says, like, you know, optimal health, they're typically thinking of longevity. Now, do you need to eat small, frequent meals for optimal longevity? Again, there's been a lot of studies, and people have sometimes said that when you eat, you know, often frequent meals, it causes, you know, irritation, inflammation within the gut. But if you only eat one meal a day, that reduces the inflammation. And then other people have said, well, no, it doesn't. It just, you'll have it all at once. So rather than having small little bouts of inflammation as the body tries to digest food through the digestive tract, you just have all this horrible inflammation at one time. So if you look at, like, longevity studies, they typically, if you're looking at how can I live the longest, it's going to be very low calories, a lot of fiber, very low protein. You're going to try to have low muscle tissue. It typically is not a quality of life or an aesthetic look that most people would want. Basically, to live long, you want to have very low body fat, very low muscle tissue, and kind of not make your body do a lot of work. That arguably is probably not what most people would want. Most people want to look a little better in clothes, feel a little better naked, you know, those kind of things. That's emotional and mental health, as well as they do want to be healthy. They don't want to have, you know, bad cholesterol and, you know, bad blood glucose control and end up dying, you know, 15 years earlier than they needed to. So people do want to live a long time, but they also want to look good and feel good and put some life in that live. You know, if you're going to live a long time, you want to live, freaking have some life, you know, have excitement, fun, enjoy it. So there's typically a blend when you're thinking of, like, when I talk to people and they want to be healthy, they are often talking about physical health, but also that includes mental and emotional health. So eating small, frequent meals, it does typically lead to the best blend of physical and emotional and mental health. When I have clients who eat within the first hours of being awake, they eat every, you know, say 3, 4, 5 hours during the day. They are the most successful towards their goals, and they're the most enjoyable experiences towards their goals. So that is where I tend to push most people towards. However, we do find a balance of just what works best for you. There's no need for you to be unhappy and miserable. I don't want somebody having to live around their diet. I want their diet to live for them, you know, fit them. But there is, like, maybe a little bit of a balance. If they're like, you know, I don't really want to eat all day, well, that's not a good idea. So we have to eat a little bit, you know, let's figure that out. So sometimes it has to be a little bit of meat in the middle, but you shouldn't feel like you're the one moving to the diet. The diet should be morphing and moving to you. Next thing we have is non-nutrient sweeteners are healthy. Okay, so a non-nutritive sweetener means it doesn't have calories. So it's like low sugar, fake sugar, like, think Splenda and Truvia. There's like 4 billion of those things out there. But non-nutritive sweeteners, they're going to be, how do you get something sweet but not have calories, not have sugar? So this myth, they say this is a myth, is that non-nutritive sweeteners are healthy. Well, yeah, they are, compared to high sugar sweeteners. So rather than me having, you know, a pound of sugar, if I want to sweeten something with a low-calorie or no-calorie sweetener compared to straight sugar, then yes, they are healthier. But they still do have, like, a potential negative effect on you. Not like negative as in they're going to kill you. They're not going to eat holes in your brain. None of that stuff. It's just they can cause a gut health disruption. So a lot of non-nutritive sweeteners, like fake, like artificial sugars, let's say it that way, artificial sweeteners, artificial sugars, they can wreak havoc on the gut bacteria, and they can cause digestive health. So if somebody eats a lot of low sugar or no sugar gum or drinks, you know, or candies, they can have a lot of gas, they can have a lot of stomach cramps, so it can actually mess you up in regards to gut health. But they're not unhealthy in a sense where they're going to cause cancer or they're going to, you know, prevent you from losing body fat. People use non-nutritive sweeteners during diet preps, and they might cut them out the last week or two before a competition, but people will get veins in their abs while they're having non-nutritive sweeteners, so artificial sweeteners. So they're not going to mess up, like, fat loss, but if you have too much of them, you don't have the right amounts, they can mess up your gut health. Okay. Next thing is macronutrient ratio matters more than diet quality. Ooh. So macronutrient ratio is like how many carbs versus fats versus protein. Do you have enough protein in your diet? Because that's typically what people don't have enough of. You know, so they might be controlling their calories, but they don't have enough protein. So they're wondering why they're, you know, they might have a good weight, but they feel soft and pudgy at that weight. Well, you need more protein to maintain higher amounts of muscle tissue and to have kind of a better body composition. So macronutrient balance is very important. It's actually what I would consider the second most important thing, because you have to make sure you have calories is the most important. Then you want to make sure you have enough protein in your diet, which then automatically regulates the amount of carbs and fats you have. So macronutrient ratio would be considered kind of second important. So if I'm flying, you know, like if I'm going from Miami to New York, I want to make sure I'm going in the right direction. But then macronutrient ratio is like, okay, am I walking to from Miami to New York City, or am I flying? When you think of food quality, that's like, okay, am I flying business? Am I flying economy? Am I flying first class? So you want to be flying more than walking, but then once you are flying, it would be nice to fly first class. So the calories gives us kind of directions. I'm going in the right direction. Macronutrient ratio says, okay, am I going there efficiently? You know, am I going there with good speed? And then diet quality, like food quality, is like, okay, how am I going to experience this? Am I going to have, you know, digestive distress all the time, gassy and bloating? Am I going to have to eat foods I don't like? Do I get to eat foods I actually do like? You know, so it's more like the experience. When you start getting further down the list, is you get less impact on direct results and more impact on experience through the process. So macronutrient ratio does matter. Now, do the healthiness of your foods matter? Yes. Why the hell are we saying these as like, it's either this or that? No, that's dumb. Do all of the things. Just make sure you do the first ones first. So do both, like try to have your macronutrient ratio correct, have the right amount of protein within your calorie content, and then do try to pick foods that are healthier. You know, I don't want to eat Pop-Tarts all day. It'd probably be better for me to have rice and potatoes or quinoa or all the kale, like all those horrible foods that people like or force themselves to like because they think it's healthy. But it is more important to have like natural foods compared to processed foods. You're just going to experience the diet better. Okay. That's funny. Next question is, or next statement is, white potatoes are unhealthy. No. White potatoes, white bread, white anything, it's not unhealthy. It just digests a little faster than the more complex forms. So a sweet potato digests a little slower than a white potato. So it's just a white items of those food categories, they just digest a little quicker. So if I'm eating a meal where I'm active, like maybe I'm like, hey, I'm going to go work out in 90 minutes, an hour and a half, I probably don't want to eat quinoa because it's just going to be sitting in my stomach in 90 minutes. But if I have white potatoes, they'll digest a little bit quicker, especially if I have low fat content in that meal, because fat slows down the digestion of carbs and protein. So if I have, you know, say, you know, chicken breast and white potatoes, or white fish and white potatoes, man, that's a great meal. Great meal. 90 minutes for a workout. White fish and white potatoes, going to digest quickly. You're going to get good carbs in your bloodstream, good energy. Yeah, protein's going to break down really fast because white fish is very lean. So you're going to have good protein in your system. You're going to have good available carbs. You're going to have good energy. You're going to have a good workout. So it really depends on when you're eating the foods that determines kind of whether they're the right foods at that time or not. So that'll help, is just understanding, okay, what time am I eating? What am I doing when I'm eating? If I'm sitting on my butt doing nothing, I probably don't want foods that digest quickly. I want more complex foods. If I'm about to work out, or I'm in the middle of like moving a bunch of furniture, or I'm doing gardening and crap, I'm out and about and moving around, then I want to eat faster digesting foods so that way my body gets that energy right now. Okay. Number eight. Low-fat and diet foods are healthy alternatives. They're saying that as if that's wrong. That's hilarious. Low-fat and diet foods are healthy alternatives. Yeah. I mean, compared to foods that have really high calories and you tend to overeat them, and then that is contributing to you being overweight, then swapping those foods for low-fat or diet foods definitely is healthy. So, yes. But they do have their own set of concern. You know, just because something's low fat, just because something is a quote-unquote diet food, you still have to control calories. You still have to watch, you know, sodium if you have blood pressure issues, cholesterol if you have cholesterol issues. They can still wreak like havoc in your gut if they have a bunch of artificial sweeteners. You know, so like sugar alcohols can mess up your gut really quickly. So there's concerns with any food. But in general, are low fat or diet foods healthier than high calorie containing foods that you tend to overeat? Yes, of course. Duh. Yes. So supplements are a waste of money. No, definitely not. They're super helpful. Supplements are awesome. But they are in addition to good habits. They're not replacements for good habits. So, you know, it's just kind of the same thing as the rest of these is if somebody uses extreme language, then yes, most of these are false. But just don't use extreme languages. Just use normal language. Just say, you know, can supplements be helpful? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So we have a couple supplement podcasts if you want to learn about them. We have micronutrients and multivitamin supplements. It's podcast 1388. You can find all these podcasts on our website, www.brillerandjim.com. And then podcast 1384 is a nutrition podcast titled My Most Recommended Supplements, if you want to check that one out. Okay? So supplements are helpful, but they don't replace, you know, doing the right things with your food. Then last thing is following a very low calorie diet is the best way to lose weight. The less you eat, the more you lose. No, 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 no. So there is such a thing as under eating. You can eat too few of calories that it prevents fat loss. Yes. And say that again. You can eat too few of calories that it prevents fat loss. I work with people who are anorexic and bulimic. And my anorexic clients, most often, not always the case, but like overwhelmingly most often, they will, by the time I talk to them, there's some kind of like near clinical issue. So I work with a therapist, and when she has somebody who comes to her with an eating disorder that we believe learning about exercise, learning about nutrition, the science of it and how it works will help them, we connect and I work with that person. So in those cases, almost always, the person has restricted their food so much that it's very obvious to them that they are losing muscle tissue, but they still have pockets of fat. So they'll still have fat on the inside of their thighs, and they might still have fat over top their kidneys. And they'll be like, what the hell? I can never get rid of this fat. I am fat. And then we have to kind of get like a it's interesting because I do understand having like body dysmorphia. I was anorexic actually for a year and a half. And when I was younger, when I was like 16, 17, I was very skinny fat. I was 6 foot tall, 165 pounds, but you could grab rolls of fat around my midsection and I had no visible veins anywhere in my body. So at 6 foot tall, 165, if I was actually any visible veins, I would have been like maybe 135 pounds. At 6 foot tall, very, very thin. And what I started to realize was as I restricted my calories more and more and more, I didn't really look leaner. I was just getting smaller, but I wasn't looking leaner because I was losing a lot of muscle as I was losing body fat. But then my body started prioritizing body fat because that's protective energy to make sure the organs stay alive. So what tends to happen is as people continue to restrict, in extreme cases, it'll become very obvious that their body is eating muscle tissue and leaving those last pockets of fat for the very end, and they have to be hospitalized for a whole bunch of issues before they would ever see that fat even start to go, and it's never going to go. Your body will die before it gives up like those last little bits of fats because that body fat is protected for the organs. So you're never going to be able to starve yourself to a look that you would see in magazines or a look that you would see if somebody on a bodybuilding type stage. What will happen is your body will throw away muscle tissue. It'll burn off muscle tissue for energy to protect the last little bits of fat. Because once the fat is gone, your body's at very high risk for death. The organs don't have energy if you don't eat. So if the body can't rely on you to eat, it has to protect itself. So when I get people lean for competitions, this is one of the things I teach my anorexic clients, is I say, look at this diet. I want you to like follow along with one of my clients, and I'll show you what they're eating in order to get lean. And I'll show you progress photos. I mean, and I obviously have clients that agree to this. But I'm like, I want you to see how we get somebody that lean. And what they're amazed by, and it takes them a while to understand and like even believe, is how much those people eat. They have to eat so often, they have to eat so much to get leaner and leaner and leaner and leaner and leaner. And it's shocking to somebody whenever they've never seen that. And they're like, are you kidding me? Like, the person's eating that much and they look that lean. And I'm like, yes, this is how we do it. This is how we get the body to protect and keep the muscle tissue, but go ahead and burn off the body fat. You have to have the body's trust that you're going to eat consistently and regularly. So I love going through that process and teaching that, because it's, once somebody understands it and it clicks, oh, it just sets them free, you know, and that's just such a good feeling. Okay, so if you want to learn more about the negative impact of under-eating and how that can actually cause you to be overweight, we have podcast 1,615, so about 2 weeks ago. There is a podcast titled, Why Are You Overweight? So you want to check that out. Okay, so hopefully that was fun, just kind of going through 10 quote-unquote myths and just talking through them and giving you some background information. So if you like this kind of stuff, feel free to send me more lists or send me more statements or anything you want me to talk about. I love, love, love doing the podcast. I love being able to help people. So if there is a way that I can help you, please give me that opportunity. I'd appreciate it. Okay. Well, if you want any help with nutrition, we do have our one-on-one coaching for nutrition only, which is just $100 a month. I write out everything for you. I check in with you every single week. We talk about your food choices and, I mean, one hell of a awesome experience, tons of education. I do have to have all my positions now capped, because I was getting a little overextended again, saying yes to everybody. So I do have a cap on everything now, just to make sure I have a better quality. So just reach out if you want to work with me, and I'll let you know kind of where we're sitting with what spaces are available. But the one-on-one coaching for nutrition only is only $100 a month. There's no contract. I write everything for you. I check in with you every single week and tell you, you know, yes, eat this, don't eat that. I answer all of your questions. It's a ridiculously amazing service. Then we have our one-on-one coaching where I do nutrition and training. So I'll write your training for you along with your nutrition. That, again, includes weekly check-ins. We do video reviews, answer any questions about training. We even track, you know, body compositional changes and stuff. And that's $200 a month. Awesome service. And then we have our live monthly programming, which is $50 a month. And that, you get a brand new programming every 4 weeks, and you get unlimited Q&A, so tons of education involved in all of these services, and there's variable prices, $50 a month, $100 a month, and $200 a month, so anything you need, I promise I can help you if you want to help. Just check out our website, www.brutalirongym.com, for more information about the services and to reach out. Cool. Okay, my email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. Send me questions anytime you want for anything. If you like today's podcast, please share it. When you share the podcast, let people know that we answer questions for free. Thank you to those who've been doing that. And then also what you can do is, if you want to, you can share how the podcast has helped you. If you talk about how the podcast has helped your life, whether that's on social media or in person, that often then, you know, encourages people and gets them more excited to reach out as well, and to participate and listen to the podcast. So just continue to help me spread the word on the podcast so we can continue to help more and more people. I genuinely appreciate the support. So thank you very, very much. Thank you to those who donate to support the podcast. You can donate on our website, www.brutalirongym.com. It helps to cover the high hosting costs, the time given to answer all the questions and whatnot. So thank you very much for the donations. They do make a significant, significant difference. If you want to donate even just $5 a month, something small, it's really impactful, very helpful. So thank you to those who do that. If you like the information we share in our podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. I post often on Instagram and on YouTube. So find us and follow us under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.